Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Eric Schein, and Eric Schein holds a license with the Maritime Commission, I suppose, with the U.S. Maritime Service. He was, of course, went to an academy, Naval Academy, a Maritime Academy, and of course learned to be an engineer on board ship. But when he found that the union was working in connivance with the shipping companies to really violate all of the basic rights of the people who work for our maritime service, and that American maritime service is really being undermined. You know, we've already lost our steel industry. We've lost certainly our textile industry and our furniture industry, and of course much of our software now is being produced offshore today, but one of the other major industries we have, of course, is maritime, and that seems to be progressively eroding, because of course the laws which govern shipping are not being obeyed by the people who are running the country. So with that as the background, Eric, thank you so very much for being with us today. Our guest is Eric Schein. Eric?
Hello, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners here?
Okay. Well, I attended Kings Point, which is the United States Merchant Marine Academy. It's in Kings Point, New York, on Long Island. It's across the sound from the Throgs Neck and the East River. And the SUNY, or State University of New York Maritime Academy, Fort Schuyler, which is right across the sound. The captain of the Exxon Valdez went to the school right across the way. The difference between the two schools, and there's other state maritime academies out there, is that the school I went to is a federal service academy, and it's one of the five, along with the military academy, which is West Point, the Naval Academy, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, the Coast Guard Academy, and then the United States Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point. And coming out of there, not only there's two main curriculums, either deck or engine, and coming out of there you are either a deck officer or an engineering officer, and a deck officer works his way up to be a captain of a vessel like Joe Hazelwood from the Exxon Valdez, or an engineering officer, which would be a chief engineer, would be the highest rating or rank that you would attain. And we work on vessels like, you know, the Exxon Valdez, oil tankers, or container ships, any vessel over 50 tons, and we work as a valid federal officer working on things that are called shipping articles. They're articles of agreement with the United States, but our entire industry has been outsourced, or is being outsourced and being offshored for quite some time through a complex series of legislation that's actually been set up for our protection and for the protection of the United States, both civil defense and national security. But all those enormous protections are being subverted and corrupted.
Now, of course, basically, were you paid by the shipping company or were you paid by the government?
Well, they have a very unique thing, and it goes to the issues of privatization that are going on across the nation right now. That I think the latest one is not beyond Social Security. They're talking about privatizing the intra and interstate highway systems, which is just, you know, ludicrous. We are valid federal officers. We work on things called shipping articles, like I stated. But the federal government has set up for our protection. We work for a bunch of different shipping companies. They're considered valid federal employers.
All right, hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, With us this afternoon is Eric Schein, who was a Marine engineer. He's trained at a Marine Academy, United States Marine Academy, one of the five major academies, along with the Air Force and certainly the Army and Navy and the Coast Guard Academy. There is a Marine Academy, and he was trained there to work on our shipping vessels. Well, one of the problems we have is that there is an effort to destroy the American shipping industry. The average American doesn't understand that. There is a specific government program to outsource our jobs, to ship our factories overseas, to destroy the industrial base of America. And people say, why, that's crazy talk. Who would want to do that? And that would, I would simply answer, the people who are dedicated to globalism, that people who are dedicated to this idea of creating a world government and, of course, redistributing the wealth of our nation. And all you need to do is read the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf of what's going on today. You can get it off the Internet. And look at point number 10, where it calls for the redistribution of wealth within nations and the redistribution of wealth between nations. And so this is really what it's all about. And certainly the Merchant Marine is simply one means of redistributing our wealth from American shipping lines to foreign shipping lines. So pick up the story from there, Eric.
Well, the instrument that they use are called general agency agreements. And what the United States has done is they set up general agency agreements with these shipping companies where they become an agency and or representative of the United States. And under eons of precedence in admiralty and general maritime law, individuals like myself who went to a federal service academy, or they're congressionally appointed, we have been considered as wards under admiralty, not only to the courts but also to Congress. And right now we can't even get into the courts, into any kind of an open hearing, without enormous and undue pressure from, you know, in my own set of circumstances or situation, the FBI has been involved, DOJ.
Well, but why have they been involved? Why have they targeted you as a whistleblower? What did you do that brought the ire of government officials down on you?
Well, I figured out the whole scam and everything that's going on.
What is the scam?
Again, it goes to these general agency agreements where they're trying to outsource. First, the move has been to these corporations, which are supposed to be acting as agents or representatives of the United States, but now they're outsourcing to foreign flag.
They're transferring our ships to foreign flags, is that it?
Right.
But, of course, aren't these ships that are actually registered to American companies? And hold that thought for just a moment. Well, our guest is Eric Schein, who's a ship's engineer, and of course duly licensed to do that. And of course he's been very concerned by this transfer of American shipping to foreign countries. Now, isn't there some sort of a law that American goods are supposed to be carried on American ships? What's that law, and how does that work?
You asking me, Dr. Stan?
Right, right.
Oh, it's the Merchant Marine Act of 1936, which states in there that the majority of U.S. cargo is supposed to be on American flag, American built, and American crewed ships. And one of the reasons for that is these vessels are considered, quote unquote, floating embassies. They carry American flag, they're considered sovereign soil, and it's safer, it's better for us, disregarding the issues of a decent paying job and a federal position and all that, it's better for us to extend our borders to other countries with vessels of our own flag, with our own people and our own construction and construction regulations, et cetera, to their country, pick up goods and, you know, containers or crude oil or whatever there, bring it back into the United States and maintain custody of it in transit, and then offload it once it gets back here to the U.S. using, again, our own people and personnel, who are well paid, well taken care of, well provisioned, and it's much more difficult to bribe somebody to get them to look the other way, to become involved in labor racketeering or smuggling. And it protects our borders, because then we don't have an influx of thousands of foreign flag vessels that are basically floating embassies from that country coming to our shores and carrying their ideals of communism or socialism or whatever, you know.
All right, well, fine. Now, Eric, as far as what is happening, once we, of course, transfer most of our ships to foreign flags, then they're no longer American ships with American crews, and they're still owned by American companies. Does that really go along with the law that was passed back in 36?
No. And it is an issue of civil defense and national security, but it's been going on for some time, and there's some very enormous forces, you know, the shipping companies, the corporations, even Walmart, who are driving, they're not supposed to be using the enormous contracting ability of the United States federal government to drive down working conditions and wages, but in effect that's what they're doing. These are valid federal positions, federal officers, and so they're actually outsourcing federal positions that are there to protect our borders and protect our people and protect commerce and transportation and trade.
And so what they're basically trying to do is get foreign companies using foreign crews and foreign personnel to man American ships just to, of course, get the price down. That's really what outsourcing is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, it goes into a lot of the issues you're talking about, like, you know, depriving people of their Bill of Rights and Constitution goes a long way in, I mean, they're there for supporting issues of civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, basic human rights. And we, even as federal officers now, we can enforce our contracts, which are with the United States, anywhere, because we have these enormous forces acting against us to deprive us of any venue to be heard within.
All right, now what happened to you? How did you get into trouble as a whistleblower? And what did they do when you did begin complaining about what was happening about the outsourcing of our shipping lines?
Well, some of this started, and I knew there was enormous problems going on within the union because of issues of labor racketeering investigations by the FBI and DOL into my union, where they were trying to merge it and seize the pension plans and play a bunch of games there. This was right after getting out of the academy and starting to work in the industry.
And what year was that?
I graduated in 91.
All right.
And then pretty much started sailing right away and going through the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association District 1. And part of the conflict of interest here is that there's so many federal agencies that are involved and have oversight that are all taking, kind of like looking the other way.
All right, so but what are they ignoring? I mean, what specifically is happening to the individual? Are more and more of the people losing their jobs? Are they losing their pensions? Are they losing their health care?
Yes. And everything that you see is going on outside in the, you know, commercial industries, airline industry, rail industry, United Food and Commercial Workers, and all the people working in the grocery stores. The same thing is going on with federal positions.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, then you are actually paid by the shipping companies rather than by the government, or are you paid by the government?
Well, no, it's set up under the general agency agreements where the federal government pays our pension, our trust, our wages, our medical benefits, and all that in trust to the shipping companies, who are then to hold it in trust and then pay us out of these enormous federal trusts that have been set up for our benefit. And because they're corporations and these guys are, you know, have sticky fingers, they've done everything to hold on to and corrupt these enormous federal trusts, and they're basically using it as a slush fund for, you know, these corporations, these shipping companies and stuff.
All right, and then how did you get into trouble?
Well, it's been going on for some time, but most recently in 2000, I tried to stop an explosion on board a government vessel, a Maritime Administration vessel, that was operated by American Ship Management, Patriot Holdings. And then I tried to also stop dumping of hazardous materials on the same vessel. They terminated me. I filed a union grievance and then discovered through, you know, trying to assert my rights that the union and the federal employers and many of the federal agencies who have responsibility to guarantee that our shipping articles are enforced in effect have dissolved our grievance and arbitration process, our system of due process that is a line item in federal contracts. And so they're taking the money from the federal government on these federal contracts to, you know, provide a system of due process for us as federal officers that's incorporated into our shipping articles, and they're not doing it. It's just like over in Iraq, paying Halliburton to provide for meals and security for the troops over there, and then them not doing it or providing substandard service.
All right. All right. So who did you report it to?
It's a long list. Most recently, with some of the attacks that's gone on, I sent a letter to Congressman Duncan Hunter, who's head of the Armed Services Committee, and to Secretary of Transportation Norm Mineta, which I have a statutory right under the Merchant Marine Act of 1936 to do as a federal maritime officer, and also to Admiral Loy, who was at the time former U.S. Coast Guard Commandant. He's now in charge of the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration, and he's pulling the same kind of games over there.
In other words, nobody is listening to you as you're complaining about it. Well, have they taken away your job?
Yeah. In response, they filed a complaint against me for medical mental incompetence, prosecuted me, quote-unquote, for being depressed for over a year without so much as a hearing, seized medical records, falsified medical records. They put out a BOLO on me saying that I may be dangerous. A BOLO is a be-on-the-lookout poster.
All right. Now, basically, they've done this because you filed appeals in reference to what they were doing. Is that right?
Right. And I'm trying to get heard saying, look, we work on shipping articles. This is what's going on. Our licensed personnel board, which is the grievance arbitration process, it's supposed to be a neutral third-party dispute resolution form, is gone. And they've dissolved our entire federal contract so that these shipping companies and even the union can stick the money in their pocket.
All right. Well, what about all the other fellows? All the other fellows are continuing to work, aren't they? And they're getting their pay and getting their benefits?
No. There's a lot of other people that are under attack, and people are being driven out of the industry and stuff. And right now we just lost another 8 vessels from the union that I've been working through. Within the last, I think, 6 months or so.
All right. How many ships do we have at the present time in the maritime fleet?
In the programs that I work on, which are, you know, federally funded, subsidized vessels or whatever, that they're not really subsidies, as most people believe. They're actually paid out in federal trust, which are to pay the federal officers that are on board. So it's kind of like a different situation. It's not a true subsidy. But these companies do benefit from that. There's about 60, I believe almost 70 vessels that are in this quote-unquote fleet right now.
All right, fine. Now, what about the crew? The crew members, are they paid by the government as well, or are they hired by the ship company?
Say that again?
The crew members. In other words, you are an officer on board. What about the crew members?
They're hired through a union hall, and they have collective bargaining agreements that are then also incorporated into and made part of their own shipping articles that they work on. It's an enormously complex system, and it's part of the reason that it's become, you know, it's just fallen apart, because the unions, instead of doing their job and protecting the federal officers, are using their knowledge, power, and position to basically raid the federal trusts along with the federal employers.
But isn't that the way the system always works whenever the government's involved and nobody's ever usually held responsible? And then, of course, they'll go after somebody like Martha Stewart to give you the impression of really trying to do something. Now, basically, you say we had about 60 ships. We've lost 8 recently. How many of the ships are there still in this group?
Well, there's total. There's actually about a couple hundred that are still under American flag, but under some of the special programs that I work under, which are, you know, for all these enormous shipping companies, federal employers like Matson, Crowley, Keystone, American Ship Management, which used to be American President Lines, Likes Brothers, which has gone bankrupt and then moved to Canada to, you know, avert a bunch of its responsibilities and stuff and play a shell game. American Ship Management was American President Lines, another shell that they've set up so that they could sell American President Lines, which is a U.S. taxpayer asset, to Neptune Orient Lines, which is owned and controlled, you know, 80% by the Singaporean government, and then set up this shell company, American Ship Management, so that they could just have one more layer of bureaucracy to where we cannot enforce our shipping articles. But there's about 200 vessels in entirety that are under American flag. Not all of them are contracted with a union that I work through or have been working through.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Eric Sein and going into the background. Apparently, of course, as he tried to do something about what was going on, he got tremendous resistance. The FBI came in. He'd been labeled as insane. You know, anything, of course, to silence him. They don't want whistleblowers. They don't want people who are, well, trying to get things to work the way they should.
except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Eric Schein, who was an engineer working in the U.S. Maritime Service, and apparently about the year 2000 he became very disturbed as he saw the American ships being transferred to foreign flags in violation of the laws and the agreements. As we begin outsourcing our jobs, they've been cutting back from the number of maritime officers, but when he began to speak out about what was going on, of course he came under tremendous pressure, and of course eventually was discharged, and of course now he's sort of been targeted because he's a whistleblower. You're not supposed to talk about when they're violating the maritime laws. You're not supposed to, when you're a government employee, to talk about anything that would be critical at all of government, no matter what is happening. So pick up the story there, Eric.
Is that we have some of the, or we do have the strongest protections out of any class of employee out there as a federal maritime officer, not only the Jones Act, general maritime law, admiralty, you know, all the provisions. We even have the right under 28 U.S.C. 1916 to present and prosecute complaints and appeals in our own name, not only so that we can, because part of the problem is that if I push forward and am able to or allowed to attain my own benefits that are included in the shipping articles, then what happens is that by doing so, I open up the door for everyone else to enforce their own shipping articles.
But, of course, they're not going to allow you to do that. They're going
right.
to do everything they can to block you. And so, you know, they certainly, you are looked upon as a threat because, of course, if you could do it, it would cost them a lot of money.
Well, right. And the amount of not only civil, contractual, but even human rights violations that have been carried out. I mean, courts are involved in this. I've been in federal district courts in L.A. They've been passing cases around there like they're candy so that they could have one judge rule by summary decision to support ruling in another separate, supposedly separate case that I was the plaintiff in that was all related. You know, it all should have been one cause of action. Also, a civil rights complaint that was filed in the Southern District down in San Diego where I was even denied a due process hearing. Even in the Coast Guard proceedings, Department of Homeland Security, the Coast Guard has moved from the Department of Transportation now into the Department of Homeland Security, and they're using the fact that although we're a separate, distinct federal service, the Coast Guard licenses us. They administer the engineering tests that we take and whatever for our Coast Guard license. But we're in a separate, distinct federal service, and what's going on is similar to, like, say, the CIA coming in and investigating someone within the FBI on a labor dispute or a labor issue or on a, you know, contractual agreement and then prosecuting them, which, you know, there's supposed to be separation of powers.
No, what about...
Not only between Article 1, Article 2, and Article 3, but even amongst all the different agencies and departments. They have all of their own adjudicatory panels or boards that are supposed to resolve disputes.
But, of course, that's the way it's supposed to be, but that's not the way it's set up. And
right.
really, it's the way it's set up is that you're supposed to lose, and they want to wear you down. This is the way the Veterans Administration works. This is the way that so much of the bureaucracy works. And once you, of course, have been labeled as a whistleblower, they will do everything they can to make your life miserable. Now, what sort of help are you getting from the union, from the labor union?
Well, my union stood up in federal district court and actually defended the federal employers and has blocked my ability to be heard in any and all, you know, I've been denied any hearings. They are saying that they have the sole right to enforce the contracts. And then on the other hand, they're saying that they're not my legal counsel and they're not my representation. So they want, like, to have it both ways. And they're actually, what's basically happened is that the federal employers, which are not only the shipping companies, it's also a bunch of federal agencies like Military Sealift Command, Naval Fleet Auxiliary Force, Department of Transportation, Transportation Command, Maritime Administration, and other federal agencies that employ federal maritime officers on shipping articles have a vested interest in absolutely destroying our shipping articles and our rights because then they can control their budgets much easier by, oppressing our civil constitutional and even basic human rights.
But of course, in the final analysis, are they just progressively moving more and more of our ships to foreign flags? Is this really what's going on?
Yeah, because then you don't have a... we don't, and anybody who believes so, you know, you haven't been paying attention to what's been going on with the Patriot Act and everything else. The Department of Homeland Security itself is the biggest vertical integration of the federal government in our history.
Well, I think that's why George Washington had said, you know, government is not eloquence, government is not reason, government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant, but a fearful master. And that's really what happens, of course, when you begin to come out and try to oppose what's going on and why they will move to destroy it. And that's what's happened to Eric. He's, of course, lost his home and he's lost everything else. He's lost his job. It's because he was objecting to what was happening and he had a legitimate right to do that. Well, he would in a free country, but unfortunately, freedom as we know it is rapidly dissipating. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Here at Radio Liberty, welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that we do carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Life water filters. And if you are interested in getting a filter that can take the fluoride out, the vast majority of the fluoride out of your drinking water, this is the one that will do it. So if you'd like, of course, you can either get the Big Berkey if you're living any place outside of California or Iowa, or certainly if you'd like to get the Berkey Light here in California. They both work essentially the same way. One has ceramic filters, that's the Big Berkey, filters are packed with activated carbon. The Black Berkey filters are in the Berkey Light, and they work even more efficiently. They have to be replaced every couple of years, but you can certainly get either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. You can see them up on our webpage. There at RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, you can order the special post filters, either the PF2 filters for the Berkey Light or the PF4 filters for the Big Berkey. But get that fluoride out of your drinking water. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Well, Eric, tell us about some of your experiences. You've gone through all the courts and all the meetings and all the various places you're supposed to be able to put your appeals in, and you've been effectively blocked at every turn.
Stepped under conflicted counsel. They actually used... I filed suit against two of the federal employers, Matson and American Ship Management, and also the union, which should have been filed as one suit, because they have worked together collectively not only to dissolve our system of neutral due process that's come through, you know, so much legislation, the Merchant Marine Act of 1936, Railway Labor Act, et cetera, et cetera. A bunch of this was set up by FDR in the 1930s to basically carry the Constitution and Bill of Rights into the workplace. And I know a lot of people don't like FDR and think he was a socialist, communist, or whatever, but there's a lot of things that he did that were, you know, good, proper.
All right, fine. But the thing is that they're totally ignoring the law, so they're just circumventing it.
Right.
And if you can't get a decent legal hearing, then what's your course of action?
Well, I went against the shipping companies and the employers, and eventually as the courts basically blocked me from being heard, I even tried to contact the courts because my own counsel would not amend the complaint, would not file any documents, would not put any evidence before the courts. My own counsel is effectively blocking me from being heard, along with the employers and the union. The courts basically held me in court as I lost my homes, lost everything, you know, basically using the courts as an internment camp. And then as they file three simultaneous summary judgments against me, you know, some of these were like 8-10 inches thick, that I'm somehow supposed to reply to, The Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Coast Guard, files a countercomplaint under Article 2 proceedings and then prosecutes me for being depressed.
Eric, they can't prosecute you for being depressed.
They can
prosecute you for, you know, for a malicious mischief or something.
No, they can prosecute you for a violation of an act, of a law, rule, or regulation, or an act of incompetence, an act of professional incompetence.
All right, but that's not for being depressed. They can go after you for professional incompetence. Have they pulled your license?
Yeah, they've taken my license.
Right.
I suppose I still have it, but the administrative law judge has yanked it through summary decision. They even denied me so much as a hearing.
Well,
and they seized medical records. Falsified medical records. They actually even filed a contingent motion for summary judgment on the contingency that I would not go to an unlawful psychological examination. And I went to the examination with an attorney and a videographer, and their doctor, quote-unquote, would not carry on the examination on the record.
All right. Well, it sounds to me like you're just an impasse. I mean, you're like so many other people who have tried to object to what's going on in government, and then find, of course, that they just try to wear you down. Unless you have unlimited funds, unless you have, a good counsel, you don't stand a chance in fighting them. At least not that way. Have you tried to go through your congressman? Have you tried to get to the Senate? Have you tried to go through your elected representatives?
Well, I've mentioned to you, I wrote a letter to Congressman Hunter, who sits on the Armed Services Committee. He was one of the individuals who nominated me to the Academy. And in response, the Department of Homeland Security filed, and this was in the face of an open whistleblower complaint with the DOTIG, Inspector General's Office, and civil complaints and union grievances, filed a countercomplaint against me and then prosecuted me from under administrative process, which is only supposed to be remedial in nature. And most recently, I've written a letter to and been working with Senator Feinstein's office, who's a Democratic senator, and her office, the Deputy State Director, Guillermo Gonzalez, has sent a letter to the Department of Transportation Governmental Affairs Office, the Undersecretary for Governmental Affairs, and Nicole Nason, and I've done a Google search on who Nicole Nason is, and it turns out she's a Republican, she's a lawyer, and she worked closely with Porter Goss.
All right, fine. But, I mean, what basically is Dianne Vine's office trying to do for you?
I don't know. I mean, from the letter I've asked, they attached my 4 or 5-page letter, which was asking them to look into the civil, contractual, and human rights violations going on in the Merchant Marine, and I've heard nothing.
All right, now, are many of the other people in the Merchant Marine doing what you're doing, trying to correct this situation? And, of course, how quickly will they be able to transfer the majority of our ships to foreign flags?
They could do it basically overnight if they want.
But are they progressively moving more and more ships to foreign flags all the time?
Yes. I mean, and they're also moving them from one union to another to basically dissolve, you know, pension liabilities of the officers who are working in that union, so the union and or federal employers or shipping companies can basically seize those pension rights. Even now, they've declared me, quote-unquote, to be medically, mentally incompetent, basically pushed me out on the street, prosecuted me as I'm losing my homes, underwent surgery, other stuff.
All right. Now, why wouldn't it
be? No, but they've denied me any pension or medical benefits or anything else. So, their intent is pretty clear.
Well, of course it is. Have you thought about just going out and just getting some sort of other job, you know, even though you've trained for this and this is what you'd like to be doing? After you've sued the shipping companies, you'll have a terribly difficult time ever getting another job with any shipping company.
Yeah, they put out a 56-page order by summary decision with all kinds of falsified, you know, information, a contingent motion for summary judgment where there's all kinds of stuff that was just, you know, basically made up, for want of a better way of putting it. And they've released this and put it in the public domain.
All right. Well,
so job anywhere.
But, Eric, wouldn't it be far better than just to sort of quit this fight and just try to get a job so you can take care of yourself and your family?
I would love to, but I understand how serious what's going on is. And, you know, I swore an oath to the Constitution and to protect the people of the United States from any and all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And I understand that this is serious. And if people don't hear and understand and know what's being done, not only to citizens, but federal officers, How are they going to be able to take action to protect themselves and their families?
Well, are there any other officers that are in the position that you're in?
It's going on. They try to, part of the reason I also ran for elective office within the union to try to fight some of the stuff that was going on. And the Department of Homeland Security now, after the fact, and, you know, has basically backdated to say that even in that time period, I was, quote-unquote, medically, mentally incompetent, and are, you know, trying to choose who can actually run for or be in position within a labor union now also.
In other words, what you're saying is the Office of Homeland Security doesn't want you running for a position in the union.
Right.
All right, fine. Did you have any backing from the other union members? Are they concerned, are the other officers concerned about the problems that you see?
Yes. There's a lot of people out there, but they're afraid. I mean, they have families, they have children. A lot of them are looking at their pension. They're scraping, trying to get their 20 years together one way or another. And a lot of these guys also are not trained, didn't go to the Federal Academy that I did. A lot of them went to either state academies, and even some of those guys, I mean, I'm not knocking the state academies, they're excellent academies, and guys that went to Cal Maritime and Texas A&M, they're very bright individuals. But not even them, there's a bunch of individuals who the union has pushed through the union school and brought in who don't have a degree from any of the maritime academies, who are basically have not only taken over the union, but they've taken over the industry and are basically playing favors to the shipping companies to be secured permanent jobs.
Well, isn't that the way the game is always played?
But not in federal positions like
well, it may not
like labor
be. It may not be supposed to be, but I mean the reality of it is that I fear that this is the way it so often is. And you know, it's like we see in Congress: you vote for my bill, and I'll vote for your bill. Doesn't matter how much it's going to cost. Doesn't matter if it's unconstitutional. Why you go along, you get along. Well, I admire you for being willing to, you know, come right out. And I understand that sometimes they will schedule for hearings at two or three places at one time, so you can't possibly be at all the hearings.
Yeah, they had me in 10, 12 different jurisdictions, and three up in federal district court. They had me in the Department of Homeland Security, you know, bankruptcy courts. Even now, I had a bankruptcy hearing yesterday, and I find out not only am I before the Department of Justice, which has been involved in this to some level and degree, the U.S. Attorney's Office stepped in and blocked the civil rights complaint from going through and actually argued against me from even, you know, having a due process hearing or anything. And also the FBI has been involved, and the FBI is the one who investigates anything that goes on within the bankruptcy courts. And so now I'm back in front of the same people that I've blown the whistle to, that have ignored everything that's going on, and have even helped with some of the retaliations and stuff, and I'm sitting in a very compromised position.
All right, so what's the next step? Do you have a do you have a website where all of this is listed and people can read more about
there,
it?
There's several friends that are working on that. Right now I just have basically a email address and a phone number. You know, I've even thought, because this stuff has gone so far and the number of people involved are fleeing the country. I know that sounds extreme.
Well, now, why would you flee the country? There are no criminal charges against you, are there?
Think about it. The charges that they brought against me were invalid. You cannot prosecute somebody for being depressed. You only do that when you want to kill them. You know, they had me jacked up on they used medical. My dad died is what happened. I tried to get leave. My dad was dying. I tried to get out, advocate for his life. This is right after the vessel with the explosion and the dumping of hazardous materials, a government vessel. Within a couple months, I was on a matching ship, and they started playing games on there, the union and the employers. And when my dad died, after fighting for his own life for 78 days in the hospital, they terminated me. And I filed a grievance to resolve it. And as I'm fighting all this stuff, I find out that they've basically dissolved not only our entire federal contracts, but the system of due process that's set up in those contracts to resolve any and all disputes, either minor, major, collective, or individual.
And so you just took off from your post for how long?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you said your father was dying.
No, I was fighting for leave.
Oh, you're fighting for leave. Well, did you take the leave?
I got intermittent leave in between, and when I tried to get more, the union played a bunch of games, the employers played a bunch of games. I had to actually fight for the leave. And we have enormous leave provisions in our shipping articles, which has incorporated the Family Medical Leave Act, which I tried to enforce in federal court, I never even got a hearing on it or anything. You know, and the judge basically ruled that I didn't have any right to leave by summary decision. She never heard any of the evidence. She never heard anything from me because I was just basically blocked from court.
Well, did you have an opportunity to speak in court? Did you have a lawyer there in the court representing
you? I had a lawyer, but I had to actually, because they kept blocking me, I kept trying to contact the court. And, you know, I wrote a letter, and they said, oh, you can't write letters to the court. You have to go through your attorneys, and, you know, that was part of the problem. They basically, the judge stuffed me back under counsel. I mean, even what they've done within the Department of Homeland Security proceedings, the shipping companies and employers control our federal trust. We're afforded legal aid from under our medical benefits plan, but they control that. So when the Department of Homeland Security filed a counter-complaint against me, they assigned me counsel, appointed me counsel, who was a risk manager for the shipping companies, and he was chosen by the union, who was already a valid defendant in civil court in U.S. District Court, and then they recused themselves because they were conflicted only after forcing counsel on me, and then they hand my legal counsel over to the federal employers who sit on the other side of the federal trust, and they controlled my legal counsel the entire time that I'm in the Department of Homeland Security proceedings.
It sounds
like they were also valid defendants in federal district court. So, I mean, the stuff that's going on is just like you would not believe.
Well, it sounds to me like everything's just sort of lined up against you.
Yeah.
Well,
they don't want me to be heard on the record.
Fine. Well, what would you like any of our listeners to do? Do you have any sort of a suggestion as to what would you like people to do? What is your reason for coming on the radio?
To get heard about what's going on, not only within the U.S. Merchant Marine, but what they're doing to federal officers and American citizens, how serious this is, that I believe that, you know, we are under martial law right now, whether people realize it or not. I believe that very soon they're going to declare that we are under martial law, so that it's very clear to everybody. I mean, you see all the attacks against the journalists and everybody else. I'm trying to somehow survive this, obviously. I know that if I am quiet, they're just going to keep after me anyways and make sure that, you know, this covers up, because then I can't put all the pieces together for, you know, anyone who would investigate this or try to correct it and go after the individuals involved.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Eric Schein. And do you want to put out your email address?
Yes, Apollonian Rain, APOLLONIAN, Rain, RAIN, @verizon.net, and then the number is 714-362-7491.
All right, fine. Well, I really want to thank you so very much for being with us, Eric.
And thank you, Doctor.
I hope you'll keep us posted as to what's happening.
I will.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is really sort of an amazing story. And, of course, but I've heard such a very similar story from Rodney Stitch, who was actually an FAA investigator. He was the chief FAA investigator on the West Coast when we were having a whole flock of crashes to United Airlines. And, of course, Rodney Stitch, as the chief FAA investigator, found out that it was related to the fact that United was not having the training or the maintenance that were necessary to have the planes really safe. And when he tried to report it to channels, to the FAA officials, they didn't want to hear about it. And so Rodney, something like Eric, was he was going to get this material out. And there are provisions in the law where if you know that a crime has been committed, that you have not only the right but the obligation to report it to a federal judge. So when he tried to report it to a federal judge in San Francisco, they arrested him. I mean, Rodney Stitch's story is the most incredible story. It's contained in a book he wrote called Unfriendly Skies. And Rodney actually ended up going to jail. They harassed him. They took everything he had, millions of dollars of holdings. Why? Because they could not have this information coming out and discredit the whole Federal Aviation Administration was working hand in glove with the airline industry and was not trying to protect the people. Some like the FDA is doing today, or so many government bureaucracies, but this was probably over 15 or 20 years ago. Anyway, when Rodney was in prison, he had the opportunity to meet a number of ex-CIA and FBI agents who were there not because they'd committed a crime, but because they, too, had been trying to get the truth out. And this led Rodney to write several books, one Defrauding America and another Drugging America. We carry all of Rodney Stitch's books, Defrauding America, Drugging America, and, of course, Unfriendly Skies, the story of what really happened with United Airlines when he was investigating it. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we live in an evil world. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And, of course, when you take the chains off the politicians, why, they'll begin to forge them for you. And this is what's happening to poor Eric. He's trying to fight the system. Unfortunately, unless he has the backing of honest judges and honest courts, but why should we have honest judges and honest courts? After all, we've taken God out of government, haven't we? You can't even say, so help me God, in a court today. And so when you take an oath, who are you swearing to? Maybe the other source of a... Well, anyway, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty to wrap up today's program. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARN. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I certainly want to remind all of our listeners about our website. It's radioliberty.com. And you can go up on our website, and you can see the advertisements for the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light and the Sanjian Shortwave Radio and of course, the Miracle 2 soap products and the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum and the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water fillers. And, of course, all of these that we think are excellent products. But you'll also find all sorts of four-tape sets to give you an overview of everything that's going on, from the secret government to Satanism to Aleister Crowley, and of course those wonderful videos we carry. They sold their souls for rock and roll, or Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, Chris Pinto's great, great production. So we recommend going to our website at radioliberty.com. Now, the other thing is that we do hope that many of you will tell your friends and tell your family about our programs and try to get them to listen. And when they start out listening, they'll probably think that we're a little crazy, and after a while, hopefully, they'll be afraid we're not. Because that's how I got started some 53 years ago. Pardon me, 42 and a half years ago in this whole battle. I began trying to question what was going on, trying to determine where in the truth lies. I mean, why are we really over in Iraq? I mean, we aren't there because of weapons of mass destruction. Are we really intent upon bringing democracy to a country where you'll have one vote, one man, one vote, one time? Or is there another agenda behind what's going on? I mean, why is it that our leaders are so intent upon moving our jobs and moving our industries and moving our wealth overseas? And by lowering the value of the dollar, they should have stolen from every American citizen as far as relationship to foreign currencies are concerned. Well, the real truth is they intend to impoverish the American people. They intend to make America a third world nation. It doesn't make sense unless you understand the Brotherhood of Darkness, and you need to get my book and read it. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours a day on radio, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 5 hours a day on satellite, and 4 hours a day on the shortwave, which is an expensive proposition, but it does give us an opportunity to reach all the way around the world. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or simply support our ministry and we're not tax exempt. I want you to know we are not tax exempt because we want to be able to say the truth. And when we are tax exempt, you have to toe the line and you can't come out and say a lot of the things that I say. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And you can certainly read our newsletters up there. You can listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our live programming there. You can look at all the books and tape sets and videos that we produced. We have a great new video. It's called None Dare Call It Genocide. And if you can stand to see me talk for an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes as we take you into the background of all the things that are being done in America to harm our children, to damage our children, to decrease their intelligence, to alter their endocrine function. And they're doing this to the adults as well. Certainly, water fluoridation doubles the incidence of hip fractures. They know that. But aren't there too many old people anyway? They're going to have to die of something. Why not die of a hip fracture? And you say, why, that's a crass thing to say. Nobody could feel like that. And I would say, why couldn't they feel that way? I mean, how do you explain the Holocaust? How do you explain the wars? How do you explain the diseases that are sweeping across the world that we're not trying to stop? And if you think we're trying to stop malaria, well, then why did we outlaw DDT, which had saved almost 500 million lives from malaria? Why aren't we doing the standard public health approaches to try to stop the AIDS epidemic? Why are we simply treating the end results of the disease rather than trying to stop its spread? We're not doing anything logical to try to stop AIDS. And, of course, if you read the writings of the people who are working behind the scenes, they will tell you, like Jacques Cousteau, writing in the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991, that it's necessary to eliminate 350,000 people a day. And if you'd like to get that pages from the UNESCO Courier, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for that quotation of Jacques Cousteau. You need to read this and hold it in your hand to really understand what it's about. If you get our 4-tape set on population control, or our video on population control, or our population control special, and of course there you get 4 4-tape sets and a video and a book, my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it will give you a real understanding there really are people out there who would like to kill off the majority of the people in the world. And they talk about it. You can go to Elberton, Georgia, and see the great stone monument there, that occult monument that nobody knows who put up the money to have it built. It was all done in secret. And the man came to town, said he represented a secret society, and that secret society is still secret, and the man's identity is still secret. But there in Elberton, Georgia, the great Georgia Guidestones, why, of course, they have the Ten Commandments that come from the pit of hell, and number one, maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. And since we're a world of 6 billion people, that's, of course, well, they're going to wipe out over 95% of the world's population. If you want to see the Guidestones, we've got a great new video. It's called Megiddo 2. Chris Pinto covers the whole story of the dark side in 3 gripping hours. That's Megiddo 2. Megiddo 1 is the story of World War 1, World War 2, and the coming World War 3. Both we recommend to you, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and of course, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to understand the spiritual nature of the battle we're engaged in. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter on fluoride, why, get one there. Remember, we carry the Big Berkey products. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.